You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino. Asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hi, everyone. I am Martina Cunha, and you're listening to Backstage Talk. Jonathan Larson asked, how can you make someone take off and fly in one of his songs from Tick, Tick, Boom? And I, for the past 2 years, have learned one way to do it, through the power of community. Welcome to the Latinx in Musical Theater special for Season 3 of Backstage Talk, where we will be featuring artists from across all positions in musical theater, from several Latin American countries and different Latin heritages. I am proud to showcase my Latinx family. I hope you enjoy. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Backstage Talk. We are live at Broadway Con 2022. I am in the company of Ilda Mason and James Brenger Arreguin. Ilda was born and raised in Panama, where she began her acting career in shows like Peter Pan, The Beauty and the Beast, A Chorus Line, and Hello, Dolly. She also was part of West Side Story 2020 Broadway revival and Steven Spielberg's new movie, new remake of this classic. We also have another episode with her previous in our season, so be sure to tune in to listen to her go more in depth in the West Side process. Also, James Brenger Arreguin was born in Los Cabos, Mexico. He grew up in Denver, Colorado, and he is a director, producer that lives in New York and is currently working in the creative production office of Denver Theatricals. He is also a fellowship winner with Repertorio Español, another theater company here in New York. I am so excited to have you here at Broadway Con 2022.
Thank you so much for having us. We're having the best time.
Yes, yeah. You're amazing.
It's amazing. You two are amazing. And we just hopped off the table from recording this in the Spanish version. And this is for our English-speaking audience. And so thank you. Both of you for really taking the time to re-record this.
Pleasure.
We got to keep talking to you. That's
yes, awesome. Exactly. Any excuse to just stay with you a little longer.
I love the both of you. So first thing I want to ask you is, what do you think the Latin or Latinx situation is currently on Broadway?
I think that we are, as I said earlier, I think that I feel like we're just beginning. We're just beginning to talk. It's currently on Broadway. We don't have any Broadway. West Side Story was pre-pandemic, right? So we don't have any Latin stories on Broadway. And so, but in the past, we have West Side Story, Evita, On Your Feet, In the Heights, right? Those are like the four big ones. And so I think that we're just beginning. And I know that there are things in development, but my hope is that we can begin to develop more and begin to develop more. It creates a real sense of authenticity of our stories, of our culture. I believe that being Latino culturally is one where we sing and we dance and we share stories and we share food.
Yes, food is important.
Food is important. Yes. If there was like a dinner theater for Broadway, I would be definitely there.
It would be
there.
Delicious.
Yeah.
Wait, we have many business ventures that we get. Yeah.
We just need the supply of money.
Anyone listening, thank you so much.
But to me, I think that we're really just like scraping the surface of what Nothing That Is. It is on Broadway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think James' point is so crucial because it's the fact that you can name like, oh, four top big ones is very telling.
Mm-hmm.
And they are big and they're important. However, even though we have people, like Latinx people, on Broadway and working on stage, off stage, crew, anything, we are still lacking those stories. Like we are definitely, we have people who are playing. Like we're talking about Wicked and Elphaba. Like we have Latinx people playing these big roles, but there's a difference between someone's Latinx playing, like quote unquote fitting in this role, rather than a role that's been written. Make because telling the Latinx story and Latinx story, I'm saying this as a huge like umbrella term because there's so much culture. Latin America is so big, so rich, so many countries that are so different and beautiful. The music, the styles, the food for a dinner theater. It's I think the world and the audiences would love and really enjoy to witness and be a part of these stories, our stories. And that's what we're missing.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with the two of you. I did a little research on the current Broadway running shows, and in every big production, there's at least one, two, or three names, Latin performers. On those shows.
Totally.
So I know, as James said, this is just the beginning of it, it's the tip of the iceberg. We continue to grow. So, James, you're working right now with Repertorio Español. So tell us a little bit about that experience.
Sure. So, Repertorio Español is a off Broadway theater here in New York that focuses on producing work in Spanish and only in Spanish, which is incredible.
Outstanding.
It's really, really cool. And they do work of Siglo de Oro, which is the golden age of Spanish plays. And that's like our Shakespeare, right? Like that's our Spanish Shakespeare. We learn about it in school. And then they also do contemporary plays. So it's a two-year fellowship. This year we're doing modern today. I don't know. Modern, that isn't good. Right? Contemporary, sort of.
Contemporary, yeah.
Sort of. And next year we'll do a Siglo de Oro play. So my play this year is called Extinction of the Dinosaurs, and it's by Luis Alion, who's a Mexican playwright. And it's like a fun hijinks comedy, and I just wanted to do something that resonated with like what I know is my vocabulary and my vocabulary. Because I grew up with like such fundamental television, right? And so fundamental Latin like and comedy. It's like true comedy. And I think what we do share in Latin cultures is
the sense of humor.
And television and like stories that aren't Spanish are so much, they're truncated in a way that American stories are. You can have trunks and trunks and trunks. You probably have like two of like the same sort of, I think of like the variety of Ugly Bettys I grew up watching, right?
Yeah.
Like, so it's just, it's really cool that I'm working on a play that's like, gives me the opportunity to like tap into that. And then next year I'm working on a play that is, Primer Sueño, first dream of Sor Juana Inés de la Cruz, and she's this amazing nun that sort of rebelled against customs and wrote her stories, and so we're adapting that to the stage, which is a really fun challenge.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And Ilda, you had
the
chance to work on
this person
I know that Steven and the producers pushed to having really authentic Latin people in a Latin sense that maybe wasn't so present in the original production, the original movie. So tell us a little bit about that whole process.
Well, I would have to say that it started with the audition process. The fact that it was an open audition. Milton Call was huge. Like, I didn't have an agent. I didn't say that earlier, but I didn't have an agent, and I was able to just audition. My friend sent me the casting call through Facebook or Instagram. It's like, you have to audition for this. You're gonna be in this movie.
Yeah, it was an open call that I even sent my video from Columbia, and I was like, I'm sure I'm not gonna cut this, but why not?
Why not? Exactly. It's... And that is something that is so monumental and huge. And that's a huge part of my experience as an immigrant here. I'm from Panama. I moved to the United States 9 years ago. And then I've realized how most of it, like the work is just, or the quote unquote luck, is to get the opportunity to try.
Yes, to go to an audition, to meet a casting director,
to be in the room. Like, that is huge. And this production of Steven Spielberg's West Side Story gave us that. 30,000 people auditioned all over the world. And I thanked him and Cindy Tolan, who was the cast director, tremendously. Like, they were done listening to me say how grateful I am. I can't even say once. I am for that. And even like Tony Kushner. Well, it's a prize winning. Tony Kushner. Exactly. I should just say that, Tony Kushner. He really put a lot of effort and hard work into making the adaptation of the script as authentic as possible. He surrounded himself with a team of just Puerto Rican people from the cast who would work with him and just make sure that words, names were accurate. There was a day that we were finishing shooting, and he said that he was worried because he realized one of the words,
like the sayings,
exactly at a wall in the very beginning of the movie was wrong, and so they had to change it. So it's details like that that are not just details; they're monumental and so important for us and our culture. Our first day of rehearsal was just that. Yeah. Learning about Puerto Rican culture. It was, that changed my life. That was,
yeah, that was amazing. The latest Latinx story that was in the newer stages was Americano. This was a big off-Broadway musical. And what it was exciting for me was to see that there were a lot of Latinx names all over the whole production, not only the cast, which was totally Latin, not only in the producers, the director, but also the writing team. This is a story about Tony Valdovinos, who is a dreamer. He came to the States with his parents. He was born in Mexico, but it was undocumented, and he didn't know about it until he wanted to go and enlist in the Navy, and enroll in the Navy. And this story was also like written by a lot of Latinx people, like Fernanda Santos, right? And this is not like the only story that we are trying to get here. This is just one, right? We also, and this was just announced last week, the collaboration between Antonio Banderas and Adelaide Weber, like this ginormous composer in musical theater history and this incredible performer, actor from Spain that also loves musical theater. Like Antonio Banderas has led and spearheaded a movement in Spain about translating shows and bringing them from their original language in English all the way to Spanish. So he produced a Chorus Line, I think produced, directed, and performed a Chorus Line in Madrid and in Barcelona. Last year, they released a cast recording. He also did Companies. And we will get adaptations from a lot of shows, from The Phantom of the Opera, Sunset Boulevard, School of Rock, Evita, which is already a Latinx story, and a lot more. And we're going to get Cinderella, which is Andrew's latest work. So what do you think about this collab?
I think it's really, really exciting because I think it's going to, when a show gets translated into Spanish, that process is going to inform the show in such a different way to hear it in Spanish. I think it's going to elevate the piece in many ways, right? Because it'll be able to open access for the audience. We earlier were talking about what it means for an audience to get to enjoy a musical. And for me, my mother, when she comes and sees a Broadway show with me, she can take in the spectacle of it, but I can see the language, especially when they sing, sort of go over her head, right? And when she got to see Aladdin in Mexico City, she called me after it and just felt like she was part of it, right? She could understand it, she could hear it, she could be with the story. And so this translation process is really exciting. But I do think it's really interesting that Andrew Lloyd Webber is like pairing up with like one of the biggest celebrities of all time. And yet I'm like, they're going to make money.
Oh,
right? It's like, it's at the end of the day, it's still a business. What we do is still a business. And I would love for them to use a little of this money that they're going to make to like elevate the places that the work is going to be done, right? If you're going to, for me, in many ways, if what you're telling me is Starlight Express is going to be done in Panama, that's going to create such an access, right, for Panama, and there's going to be, people are going to want more shows. People are, they're going to go through that catalog quickly, so it'd be great to elevate the new writers in those places, and in Spain, and Mexico, and in Puerto Rico, and todo, right? I hope that they use those resources and the connections that they make through the process to change our landscape.
Absolutely.
I think it's the key word for me is accessibility, the possibility of audiences, and like, you know what, I didn't even want to say audiences, I want to say like people.
Mm-hmm.
People who have not been to theater, who have never seen a musical, the opportunity for them to see it, because we are at Broadway Con right now, so we're thinking Broadway, great scale, like, oh God, Antonio Banderas, mm-hmm. and Lloyd Webber, but I think it's so important to bring it, trickle it all the way down to a local theater at a town, like at a, you know, the things that, even though we think, oh, that's, you know, that's not as whatever, insert whichever adjective, that is where it starts. Like, my love for theater started in Panama. And we didn't have all the resources that Broadway could have. And yet, people who do theater there do it because they love it. And we love it so much that it brought me to want to move here to do it for a living. So I just, like you were saying about your mom, like my mom came to see West Side Story here in New York. And she couldn't understand the movie. So we had to go watch it with subtitles.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just the amount of the material and art and shows that are out there that people can't see. It may make someone think like, oh, I don't like musicals. I don't like musical theater. But it's because they've only seen a handful, one that they didn't like. They don't have the accessibility, access to watch and to explore and to feel what theater makes us feel when we saw that one musical that changed our lives forever. So that's, accessibility, theater, the arts, for people.
Yeah, I do think that it's going to be groundbreaking, and it's going to give us another foot in the door to, as Ilda just said, to give access to a lot of people. Because, for example, my dad saw Wicked, and with all the love that I have for my dad, he was like, why was everyone shouting? And I'm like, they're not shouting, they're belting. So now I know that the Wicked type of show is not for my dad, right? But maybe he will like, I don't know, Company, or maybe he'll like something more like MJ, which he saw and loved. He could have access to a lot of new options, right? Before we close, I have a surprise question for you, which it's not the same question that I tell everyone in the normal episodes.
Okay, cool.
If you could choose one Latin artist to do a jukebox musical, it can be bio musical, it could be jukebox with non-related to the story of the artist, which one would it be? I have my answer, but I want to listen to yours first.
Well, this is so rich because we were, I think, in the last session talking about like how grounded our like music is, right?
Yeah.
Like, how it universally connects us, right? Like we all can list 10 different Latino artists that like are part of the reason why we love like music, right? Mm-hmm. Theater to me is like the conglomerate. Musical theater is a abominational culture. So I'm going to say Selena, in the way that maybe not like a biopic musical like MJ per se, but maybe like a Jagged Little Pill, take her music, take her energy, and see what you create with it.
I would love I would love those orchestrations.
Oh my
like,
God, yes.
Amor Prohibido orchestrated for Broadway.
Like, that would be, I mean, people would be living.
I would play that cast recording in the shower every single day.
I mean, honestly, now that you say that, I'm like, absolutely, we need more.
Yeah.
So I was also thinking of Selena. I just forgot what I think maybe someone like Juan Luis Guerra. Because we're talking about like the energy, and I don't know, I imagine like a Juan Luis Guerra concert.
Yeah.
But then I thought maybe we could do like a jukebox musical, like
with a lot of different
exactly
all over the place.
All over the place, that we could have like Shakira and Thalia and Juan Luis Guerra and Juanes and like I don't know, like just a bit of everything. To just. Boom, like in the audience's face, it's like, this is the movie that we love from Latin America. And I'm sure that they would fall in love with it too. For the people who have not, you know, heard their music or.
Well, they wouldn't be seated, right? Like they would
exactly.
Be dancing. Exactly.
Yeah.
It would be
a party.
It would be a
party.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. My answer, and actually, I never pitched it to Netflix, but they stole the idea, was Luis Miguel. Like, if it's a biopic musical or just a jukebox musical, I would love those orchestrations.
Yes.
Love.
Yes. I mean, as Dia wanted that, like, he has done musicals, he would love it. He would. We already have that. We already have our star.
Exactly.
Boom. Just come on.
Yeah. Just get him on a Broadway stage. I mean, he has been in musicals in Mexico City before. He did
Rock of Ages.
Rock of Ages.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I mean, I listened to. I could not believe that was not Luis Miguel singing. So, Diego, you'll receive a call or call us.
We're doing this crazy Broadway dinner theater.
exactly. And there's a Broadway dinner theater. I love that. Yes, it's gonna be great. It's a big
but it's Broadway.
It is Broadway.
Yeah.
It's a big house. It's a family hall. Yeah, call us.
Yeah. Frijoles Negros and rice will be Abuela Claudia's favorite dish.
Y plátano maduro, y tortones, patacones.
Y vas a beber, you're going to drink, you're going to have a great time.
It's going to be amazing. It's very great. People, you don't even know. It's a feast for the senses, for your tummy and for your heart.
Yeah. I want to take the time to thank the both of you. I really do think that today we made history as the first Spanish-speaking panel ever done at BroadwayCon. So thank you to the both of you. I love you with all my heart. And thank you to the Broadway Podcast Network and to BroadwayCon.
Yes, thank you so much for having us. This was such an amazing time.
I can't wait to hear next week's panel. Like, I just can't wait. Thank you
so much for tuning in, and we'll catch you in another episode of Backstage Talk. Bye.
Bye.
2 hours. Thanks, everyone, for listening to this new episode of Backstage Talk. Remember to follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Backstage Talk Podcast.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.
If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway,
Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but yeah. Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.